So in this series, we have been talking about fearing God. But today's message is don't be afraid. And we'll tell you that there's a sense that we don't have to be afraid. But we live in a scary world. We live in a world that there are a lot of things to make us feel afraid and to feel insecure because bad things happen. And no matter how many precautions we take, no matter how much insurance you want to buy, there's still bad things that can happen. Maybe you remember a story that happened a few years ago that there was a man in Florida, and actually my wife Hope was Facebook friends with this person's neighbor. And this happened, this person was at home in bed and just sleeping when all of a sudden a gigantic 60-foot sinkhole opened up underneath this man's home and just swallowed him alive. And think of this, and there he went, he was dead. And this guy was not out like climbing a mountain doing something dangerous. He was not like swimming with the sharks or something where you'd say, you fool, what are you doing? He was at home where you think would be the safest place. He was in his bed and the ground opens up and swallows him alive. And so yeah, we do live in an insecure world, and when we watch the news, it just gets worse. So what should be our response to these things? Should we wrap ourselves in bubble wrap? Do we double down on our insurance or just curl up in a little ball in fear? No, I believe the answer to this and the reason why we don't have to be afraid is that we need to look at the words that Jesus said in the Bible, Matthew 10, 26 through 33, that we're going to be looking at. And we need to see this and we need to believe what God has taught us in his words. So I encourage you to find Matthew chapter 10, 26 through 33, so we can be reading this together as we think about this morning. And as we do this, it's also to realize that Jesus spoke these words to us so that we do not have to be paralyzed by worry, even though we do live in a very insecure world. And as we've been saying this entire series, that the fear of the Lord is the good fear that casts out all other fears. So let's look at this. We've seen one verse from this in a previous message, but we're going to be looking at the whole thing at this point. So Matthew 10, starting verse 26, Jesus says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." So, we'll finish right there. So on one hand, yeah, we live in a scary world. Yet Jesus says, fear not. I want to look at this passage, and from it, we're going to see three main reasons why I believe that we do not need to be afraid, why you do not need to be afraid. And the first of these reasons, looking at the first verses, is to not be afraid because man is not worthy of your fear. Because man is not worthy of your fear. I'm drawing this from the passage. Notice it says again, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known." So when we read it and it says, do not be afraid of them, it reminds us that we have to look at this passage in context. That there is a context here. There's things that are going on in the world. There's other verses around this that inform us what is going on. And these are not just words of comfort to us, But these were originally written to Jesus' disciples as he was sending them out into the world. And Jesus was not hiding from them the fact that they were going to face persecution. Jesus was telling them up front that they were going to face hard times. There were going to be people that were against them because of what they were proclaiming and who they stood with and who they stood for, Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Bible open, just looking back to other verses, you'll see in verse 16, Jesus said to them, "I am sending you out as sheep amongst wolves." Now, just to state the obvious, if you are a sheep, being amongst wolves is not where you want to be. If you are a sheep and you are amongst wolves, your life expectancy drops significantly. Okay? And then it goes on. Jesus tells them in verse 17 and 18 that eventually you're going to be handed over to the courts to be flogged. In verse 22, he says, "All men will hate you because of me." Verse 23, he says, "When you are persecuted." Notice he says when. He does not say if you are persecuted. He says when you are persecuted. And then in verse 24, 25, he says, "A student is not above his master. If they call Jesus Beelzebub, they accuse him of being demonic and evil. How much more will they malign the members of his house?" So look at this context. Jesus is not saying these words to say we're going to live this life of just complete comfort and it's going to be carefree bliss without any opposition. The reason that he gives us to fear not is not because we're going to have just easy roads that are ahead. That if you identify with Jesus Christ, if you're proclaiming his message, there are going to be people that are against you just because of that. No matter how kind and Christ-like you are, and I hope that we're being kind, I hope that we're being Christ-like, but remember, the most Christ-like person to ever live on this earth was Jesus Christ, and they put him on the cross. They killed him. So we should not expect that we are somehow going to have better treatment than he had. Do not be afraid, though, because man is not worthy of your fear. And we look at this passage, and we also see that we're not to fear because truth is meant to be proclaimed. That this message, this good news about Jesus Christ that we are told to take to people is meant to be proclaimed, not hidden. It's not to be just kept to ourselves. It's not to be put under a shade so people can't see it. The nature of God's truth itself is that it's meant to be taken. It's meant to be proclaimed, even if it isn't popular. It's not meant to be kept under a basket. And regardless of the consequences, God wants us to have the boldness to proclaim it. And without modifying it, without changing it or adapting it so that the world is going to appreciate it more, to proclaim it as it actually is. And there are people that want to try to change God's message, to change God's standards, to make it more appealing to people in this world, to what they find acceptable. There's a story that back in the day when Henry VIII was the king of England, remember the reputation he had, that if you were against him, he wasn't afraid to have your head chopped off. And there was a preacher named Hugh Latimer who found himself preaching before this temperamental king. And he looks out into the congregation, he sees, oh, it's the king of England, it's King Henry VIII there. And he recounts that when he saw that the king of England was in the congregation, that he said to himself, in his mind, the king is present, be careful what you say. But as soon as that thought went through his head, another thought went through his head, the King of Kings is present, be careful what you don't say. That we shouldn't let what we say or not say be determined by our fear of man, but we care even more about the King of Kings. What does he think? What is his opinion? And he wants us to be people of his truth, that are willing to stand up for his truth, to take his truth lovingly, but with conviction, communicate his truth to people that need it. And then we read in verse 28, again, man is not worthy of your fear. But in verse 28, it says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." But realize what is being said here. On one hand, it is being said that they can kill your body. And this does seem like a reason to be afraid of them, doesn't it? That people can kill you. They can do terrible things to you, like they did to the original disciples. You keep reading in Scripture, and you realize that they were persecuted, many put to death. We know from church history that terrible things happened. And people can do bad things to us, and they can kill us. But there is also a sense, Jesus is saying, that they can't even touch you. On one hand, yeah, they can kill you, they can kill your body, but there's another sense where they can't even touch you. Because we are more than this material body, and existence is more than this life that is here now. And so even though they can mess with the material part of us, there's an immaterial part of you. There is your soul that they can't even touch. And even if they did kill you, the worst they can do, all they're doing is sending you to be with your Savior that you love forever. And Scripture tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So yes, fear God, not man. And if you're here for the message that we talked about, this with the scales, which is bigger in your heart, really, in function? Is it the fear of man, that we care about their opinion, we care about what they could do to us? Or is it the fear of God, our respect for Him, our care of what does God think and what do we believe about Him? So this passage tells us don't be afraid because man is not worthy of our fear. There's some other great news in this passage as well, too. Don't be afraid, point two, because not even a sparrow can fall to the ground apart from the Father's will. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Let me say this another way. Do not be afraid because nothing bad can happen to you apart from your Father's permission. And notice here, it doesn't even say the Father, it says your Father. And so if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been adopted by Him, He is your Father. And He's not going to let anything bad happen to you apart from His permission and His plan. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Fear not, says in verse 31, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. A while back, I got into kind of a kick on taking pictures of birds, okay? I was just about as surprised as you may be right now. But I got into this for a little while because of two ladies in my life that are very important to me. One being my wife, Hope, who loves taking pictures and had gotten a really nice camera with a nice zoom lens. And the other was my beautiful daughter, Zoe, who loves animals, who loves birds, all of God's creation. And there was a while where we just enjoyed looking out the back window, and we had a bird feeder, and we would see the different birds that would come. And then we would get out the Encyclopedia of North American Birds, and we would look them up and identify the different birds. And it always took a long time, because Zoe would want to stop at every page and look at every bird picture. Just loves God's creation. And then I decided that I would try to capture as many pictures as I could of these different birds that we're seeing out at the bird feeder and in the backyard, and identify and kind of catalog some of these. So I got in a little habit of doing this and took as many as I could. And so, would you like to see my bird pictures? All right, these are pictures I took, well, at least most of them, okay? And so, different birds that are out there. And so, this is our back porch here. And here we have some goldfinch. We had lots of these. These are bright little happy birds. Look at them, all bright and yellow and happy. So, yeah, I gotta love those. Those are fun. Some other ones, we have a red-winged blackbird. We have a lot of these because we have a pond that's next to our house, so they make their nests in there. And you know, they have those cool red patches on their wings. If they didn't have that, I mean, they would just be kind of boring, you know, black birds. But you add that red patch to them, and they're cool. They're cool enough to name a hockey team after at that point. So these red-winged blackbirds, We have here a downy woodpecker. So that was cool. I saw this downy woodpecker. I remember Zoe really liked this one too because she has a, ever since she was little, this little stuffed woodpecker that she had. It looks just like this one. A stuffed woodpecker, if you want to know, is named Mr. Woodpecker. And so downy woodpecker, that's cool. It's just fun seeing these, you know, interesting birds that are easy to identify. There's something unique about them. You know, just all these things, you know, how God created the woodpecker. It's just amazing. There's this little guy. It's some bird with some name. I don't know, but he's got this cool hair thing going on. And so I don't remember what this bird is, but he's cool. He's got a little seed in his beak. And so he's a handsome little guy that's there. And we got some other ones. We got a robin here. And easy to identify the robin with the red-orange chest. And there's going to be a while where we'll be glad to see the robins coming back, because then, you know, spring is upon us, because you're seeing the robins again. So, got to love the robins. We have a purple finch, just like the goldfinch, but purple. So, got to be loving them. Those are kind of cool. And then, yeah, here we had the swing set back in the day, so we have a cardinal here. It's got its wing out. Those are beautiful birds. I mean, just the red in these cardinals. I mean, you see a cardinal, you know, there's a cardinal. Those are awesome, great birds to see. Now, this next one, this is actually not one that I took. This is one that Hope took, but I love this picture. And so, in this, we have some of these sandhill cranes. And those things are loud, and they're big, and they would come in our area and be in our little pond. I mean, those sandhill cranes come, and it's like there's some kind of, you know, Air Force raid going on. You just hear these things. They are loud. So they're hanging out. But if you look carefully, look in the back of the second one, and there is a little red-winged blackbird there that is attacking this gigantic sandhill crane, probably getting a little too close to its nest. And the sandhill crane's just looking back, you know, like, what are you doing? But I just appreciate the guts of that little, the red-winged blackbird going after that sandhill crane. It's pretty sweet. So different time, we're looking out back, and I'm there looking at different birds with Hope. And she made a comment, and she said, you know, our neighbors, they must be feeding their birds something different, because they were getting all kinds of cardinals, and we weren't getting cardinals. So thinking, what's a special food? What's going on that they're getting all these cardinals? And I said, yeah, you're right. We're just getting a bunch of kind of just generic birds. You know, they're getting cardinals. We're just getting, I don't know what they are. They're just birds. They're some kind of generic bird. And then I thought, wait a second, these generic birds, it has to be an actual species. You know, there isn't just generic birds. What are the generic birds? And I pointed to some. And Hope said, Nate, those are sparrows. I said, oh, those are sparrows? Well, they're kind of generic. Kind of plain. And I thought, you know, when you see a cardinal, I mean, that's something. That's a bird that you recognize. But these others, just filler birds. I have some pictures of some cardinals. We got them here. And don't get me wrong, they're fine. They're nice, you know, but our neighbors were getting cardinals, not these just generic kind of filler birds. But you know what? I think that's Jesus' point. Then we said the Father's eye is on the sparrow, okay? And Jesus said, are not they two sold for a penny? You know, we say something is a dime a dozen. We mean that something is cheap, something is not of much value. But realize, if something is a dime a dozen, if you're two for a penny, that's worse than a dime a dozen. And that's what Jesus says about these sparrows. You know, in the ancient world, the poor people would buy and eat sparrows kind of as an inexpensive kind of finger food for people that didn't have a lot of money. They were basically like the Burger King value menu, okay, of the ancient world. That's what sparrows were. So I'm with Hope, we're looking out, and we're seeing these different birds, and I said, well, okay, you know, at least the sparrows, they have those cool tails like the airplanes, at least that's something. And then Hope said, no, you're thinking of swallows. I said, oh, Okay, so sparrows really don't have anything cool about them. They're just generic, boring, filler birds. You want to see a cool bird? This is one, I didn't take this one. Hope's brother and his wife were camping down in Florida, and they said they looked up above the tent, and they saw this bird, and they took a picture. Ready? That's cool. An owl, that is an awesome, that is a majestic bird. And you gotta love owls. They got those big saucer eyes. Sometimes they got those cool ears. You know, and they see at night, and they swoop down and get their prey. And even this, he's just sitting up in the tree like this, like a boss. They're awesome. I mean, I really think an owl to a regular bird is like Batman to a regular person. They are cool. But a sparrow compared to that, a sparrow is just boring. You know, years ago, when I was doing a message like this with some young people, I was making this point about sparrows are boring, and there was a girl that got offended, and she said, "I like sparrows. Why are you saying bad things about sparrows? I like sparrows." And I said, "I'm not saying bad things about sparrows. I'm not saying anything against them. I'm just saying they're boring. They're ordinary. They're common. There's nothing special about them." But that's the point. Jesus was saying that his Father's eye is on the sparrow, which are sold two for a penny. They're not the most impressive bird. They're not the most majestic thing that is out there. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't say, "My Father's eye is on the bald eagle," because of course it would be. You see a bald eagle, you look. If someone is with you and you see a bald eagle, you tell the other person, "Look, there's a bald eagle. Look at that." And they will turn and they will look. You don't do that with sparrows because they're common. They're ordinary. But Jesus said that his Father's eye is on the sparrow. And Jesus said that not one of these little birds will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. Let's just take that in again, what Jesus says. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I mean, let this sink in. I mean, there are billions of birds in this world. There are billions of birds that the human eye will never even see. I mean, there are flocks of birds flying around, or jungles over the Siberia, different places in this world that we're not even going to see. They will live their lives. They will fly around. And yet not one of them, as insignificant as they may seem, will perish apart from God's will. And if that is true for them, how much more is that true for us? If God cares about the sparrow, okay, as common as it might be, and not one of them will die a day sooner than God has decreed, then how much more for us, whom God is watching over? How much more for you, human being created in the image of God? How much more for you, who Jesus Christ came and died for? For you, Christian, that you know that Jesus loved you so much that he came and gave his life on the cross as a substitute for your sins. If these things are true for sparrows, how much more do you know it is true for you? You are worth more than many sparrows. Many, many, many sparrows. And this means that you will not get sick apart from God's will. This means that you will not experience tragedy or an accident apart from your Father's will, or the loss of your job, or the loss of a loved one, or die. Now, I wish I could tell you that none of these things will ever happen to you. But the truth is that sparrows do fall to the ground. Sparrows do die, but not apart from the Father's will. And I wish I could tell you that nothing bad, nothing tragic will ever come into your life, but I'm sure that things have. And I'm sure that things will. But we can know with certainty that nothing like that will happen unless it is an important part of God's story. Unless it's an important part of His great plan. These things can only come to us within the Father's vision and His permission and His plan from the hands of your loving Father. God keeps track of all those sparrows. So fear not, because He watches over the sparrows. And now one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. Let me give you a third reason here why you don't have to be afraid, even though we live in this very insecure world. Do not be afraid, because God knows and cares about even the smallest details of your life. And we get this from what Jesus says in verse 30. That was there in between talking about the sparrows. He says, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. It's common for people to think that God doesn't care about the small things. He just cares about the big picture stuff. And even Cicero, back in the day, had a quote that said, the gods attend to great matters, they neglect small ones. And we tend to think that way too. God cares about the big things, He cares about the big important people, but He doesn't bother about the small things, the insignificant things. Yet we know that even the quote-unquote small things actually do matter a great deal. Even things that are really small can influence the course of history. It's been said, for the lack of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the lack of the shoe, the horse was lost. For the lack of a horse, the rider was lost. And for the lack of the rider, the battle was lost. And for the lack of the battle, the war is lost. And all because of the lack of a nail. Small things matter. And you know that if you're driving and you get an eyelash stuck in your eye while you're trying to drive, you can know even the smallest little things can have a huge impact. So this says God knows the very hairs of your head are all numbered. They say that the average human, if you're wondering, has 140,000 hairs on their head. Some of you are bringing the average down. But that's the average that there are. So there's a lot to keep track of. Takes God a little more than others. But you multiply that, if that's the average, times, let's say, 8 billion people, okay, that is 1.12 quadrillion hairs that right now God is keeping track of. That is amazing to think that God is keeping track of all that. And He's not just keeping track of hair. There's everything that He is keeping track of, every bird, every molecule, everything. God knows it all. He keeps track of all of this. And it's just amazing to think about that God is watching, that God knows. There's nothing that's going to sneak into your life. There's nothing that's going to take God by surprise. He knows all this, and He tracks it. You ever watch some of these nature documentaries? Some of those are great. And some of the people making them, they don't see the hand of the Creator behind us. But as Christians, we can watch this and we can realize this is the design of an amazing Creator and just be amazed. A while back I was watching, it was BBC's Planet Earth. And just really cool documentaries with just super high definition videography and different things taken with drones and all kinds of stuff. Just majestic views and pictures of God's creation. And there was a segment that came on that just blew me away. It was on the blue whale. I think the blue whale, they said some of these facts, and I was just writing these down because it was blowing my mind how big and how amazing the blue whale is. And these are not mythological creatures. These are things that are actually on the world today. Okay, so the blue whale can be as large as 100 feet. I mean, that is a lot. I mean, I would have trouble fitting in this whole room here. This is huge, a blue whale, like 100 feet. They weigh over 200 tons. Okay, this blew me away. They are the largest animal, not just now, but the largest animal to ever exist, including dinosaurs, okay? The blue whales that are still swimming in the oceans today, biggest animal ever to exist. The tongue, just the tongue of the blue whale, weighs as much as an elephant. Okay, think how big an elephant is. And this is just the tongue of the blue whale. And I tried to find a picture of a blue whale, and you wouldn't have any scale, but I found this one, and I thought this is kind of helpful. This is the skeleton of a blue whale. That's how huge these things are. It's amazing. It says that the heart of the blue whale is the size of a car. Okay? And there are blood vessels in the blue whale that are so big that you could swim down them. That is how big this creature is. Okay? And they feed on krill, these small little creatures that are like 1 or 2 centimeters big. And one blue whale each day will eat about 40 million of these krill. They're small, but that's quite the appetite. And I was thinking about that too, that 40 million krill that are just disposable whale food. They basically exist on this planet to feed the whales, and they're going to eat 40 million of these. Yet God, we know, keeps track of each of those krill. He knows them. He identifies each one, and he knows everything about them from beginning to end, named and numbered. But then, in this documentary, okay, not produced by Christians, they said this, and this blew me away. So all these things about blue whales, their size, biggest animal that's ever lived on this planet. And then they said this, and I wrote this down verbatim. This is a quote. And he said, "Their migration routes are still a mystery, and we have absolutely no idea where they go to breed." The biggest animal that there is, and we don't know where they go and where they breed. So just think about this, and let's compare. Okay? On one hand, God. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from his knowledge and his plan. All the hairs on your head are numbered. Or mankind, with all our technology, all of our knowledge, everything that we have, and we can't even keep track of the blue whale. So who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust that has a plan for your life? That has it figured out, that knows what is going on? Are you going to trust in mankind and all our glory, and we can't even keep track of the largest animal that's out there, or God? Who do you think has the details of your life mapped out best? God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing with the big things in your life. He knows what he's doing with the small things in your life. And if he allows anything to come into your life, big or small, he's doing it for a purpose. He knows how it's going to play out both today and how it's going to play out tomorrow. And we can stand in amazement at a God this big. And we can take comfort in his care. If this is the God that we fear, then we need to fear nothing else. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for what Jesus has taught us. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help everyone here to take this to heart and to really believe it, Lord. May our fear not be in man, be in people, but Lord, may we have a healthy fear of you that casts out all other fears. Because if we know that you are on our side, that you are our Father through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in our place to take away our sin, Lord. And if we know that you are sovereign over everything, that not even an insignificant sparrow will fall to the ground apart from your permission, your will, your plan, Lord God, then we can know that you won't allow anything into the lives of your children unless it's an important part of your plan and your story, and that you will use it for good, for your glory and for our good ultimately, Lord God. Lord, thank you that you see us, Lord, and that you're able to keep track of our lives. And even though there's things that seem like they're off course, things that are not good, Lord, that you know what you're doing. And so let us trust you, let us submit to you, and Lord, let us fear you in a way that casts out all other fears. We thank you, we give you praise, and in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.